Hey guys, welcome back to Unscripted with Coco. I'm your host Coco, and today we're diving deep into something we interact with every day, probably without even realizing it. It is in your closet, your shopping cart, on your Instagram feed. That's right, we're talking about fast fashion. You guys probably already guessed it from the title, but just to give you another hint. You know those $10 tops and like $20 jeans? That seems like an amazing deal. But what if I told you those low prices come with hidden costs, not just financially, but environmentally and socially as well? So just to give you guys a little background on why I wanted to talk about this topic today, in law class right now, we're doing a unit about international law. And this is actually towards like the end of the unit, but right now we're talking about fast fashion and we're watching a documentary in class about fast fashion. And personally, I didn't really have that much knowledge about like what fast fashion is, but after watching the documentary, I think it was very like perspective changing for me, because I'm someone who's like, I think I have a habit of buying things that I don't always need, but after watching the documentary, I tend to always like think before I buy and really like consider the consequences of my purchase in a wider context. So today I want to talk about this with you, and hopefully you gain a new perspective next time you're shopping. So in today's episode, we're peeling back the layers to explore how fast fashion has exploded in recent decades and the impact it's having on our planet, the workers behind the clothes we wear, and the role social media plays in driving this fashion frenzy. We'll also talk about the growing push towards like sustainable fashion and what you as a consumer can do to make it better, to make better and more ethical choices. Trust me, you don't want to miss this episode, so let's get into it. So first, let's talk about what fast fashion is and how it came to dominate the retail landscape. Fast fashion isn't just about the clothing being fashionable. I'm doing air quotes, but you can't see it. It's about speed and turnover. Think about it. Fashion used to work on a pretty simple cycle. You had two main seasons, spring, summer, and fall and winter. Designers would unveil collections at Fashion Week, and retailers would spend months preparing those styles for the general public. It used to be a cycle like that. But something changed in the 1990s. Retail giants like Zara, H&M, and later brands like Forever 21 and Shein revolutionized the game by introducing a model where clothing wasn't released once or twice a year. It was released every week. They could take trends from the runway and get them into stores within days or weeks. Or TikTok, actually, now that I think about it. Or just any social media platforms. The cycle sped up and fashion became fast. This approach cut costs, produced trendy clothes at lightning speed, and encouraged consumers to buy more, because who can resist a $15 dress that looks just like the one on the runway? This model was a win for the brands, but as we will discuss today, it's created some serious problems for the environment, for labor, and even for us, the consumers. So now let's get into the environmental cost of fast fashion. The fashion industry as a whole accounts for roughly 10% of global carbon emissions. That's more than all international flights and shipping combined. And fast fashion is a major contributor to this. The rapid production of cheap clothes comes with some significant environmental consequences. First off, let's talk about the fabrics. A lot of fast fashion relies on synthetic fibers like polyester, nylon, and acrylic. These materials are made from petrochemicals, meaning they're derived from fossil fuels. The production process emits a large amount of greenhouse gases, which contribute directly to global warming. And when we wash these clothes, that's when microplastics come into play. Every time you wash a polyester garment, tiny plastic fibers are released into the water system, and these microplastics eventually end up in our oceans. They don't break down, that's a problem. They accumulate, polluting water, harming marine life, and even entering the human food chain. And then that's water consumption. There's water consumption. Take cotton, which is often seen as a more natural alternative to synthetics. But here's the thing. Conventional cotton farming uses an immense amount of water. To give you some context, producing just one cotton t-shirt uses about 2,700 liters of water. That's enough for one person to drink for 2.5 years. And it's not just water. Cotton farming is also heavily reliant on pesticides and fertilizers, which further damage ecosystems. Let's not forget about textile dyeing either. Did you know that dyeing fabrics is one of the largest contributors? Oh my god, I sound like one of those, what is it? Like cartoons that like want to engage little kids. Like, actually, did you know that dyeing fabrics is one of the largest contributors? Oh my gosh, this is so funny. But anyways, did you know that dyeing fabrics is one of the largest contributors of water pollution worldwide? Textile factories, especially those in developing countries, often dump untreated dye wastewater directly into the rivers, which then flows into oceans, poisoning aquatic life and affecting the health of nearby communities. We've talked about how the clothes are made, but what happens to them once we're done with them? The rise of fast fashion has dramatically shortened the life cycle of our clothing. Instead of holding on to clothes for years, we're cycling through them at an alarming rate. So for example, let me give you a personal example. I might get backlash from this, but like I don't care. So a few days ago, actually last month, I bought this very cute cardigan from Oak and Fort. Oh my goodness. Oak and Fort. And it was so cute, but I think the fabric on it was very not cheap. It was just like very synthetic cotton, or like I can't really explain the texture. Wait, maybe I can like include a picture in my source notes. But it's like very synthetic fibers. So then I didn't know how to wash it properly, so I put it in the wash. And after I washed it, the next day I pulled it out, and then it was like it shrunk by so much, and then there were loose ends of the sweater just hanging. And I really liked that sweater too, but there was no way I could wear it anymore because it was so small. It shrunk to so small, and like the bottom threads were all like unraveling, which is kind of upsetting because it was also very expensive. But anyways, in fact, like the average person today buys 60% more clothing than they did 15 years ago, but we're keeping each item for about half as long. But in my case, like for maybe 1/12 as long, because oh my gosh, I'm actually so upset. I can't talk about this. This constant cycle of buying, wearing a few times, and then discarding contributes to an enormous waste problem. I was doing my research and I found that every year about 92 million tons of textiles end up in landfills globally. So to put that in perspective, that's the equivalent of one garbage truck full of clothes being dumped into a landfill every second. And because many of these clothes are See, Billy's also upset. Billy's my dog and he's also upset about this. Oh yeah. Yeah, I agree. And because many of these clothes are made from synthetic materials, they can take hundreds of years to decompose. Ooh. Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, Billy might be my like best co-host. Okay, now you might think, well, I donate my clothes, so it's not waste. And while donating is great, I donate as well, it's not a perfect solution. Most donated clothes never end up back in circulation. According to the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, less than 1% clothing is recycled into new garments. Much of it is downcycled into items like insulation or worse, shipped overseas to low-income countries where it disrupts local economies and ends up in their landfills instead. Fast fashion's environmental toll is staggering, but the human cost might be even more heartbreaking. Fast fashion's business model depends on cheap labor, and to keep costs down, many brands outsource their production to countries where wages are low and regulations are lax. Places like Bangladesh, India, and Cambodia are home to thousands of garment factories where workers, often women and children, toil for long hours in unsafe conditions. In 2013, Rana Plaza collapse in Bangladesh brought global attention to these conditions. Over 1,100 workers lost their lives when the building, which housed multiple garment factories, collapsed due to structural failure. Brands like Primark, Benetton, and Mango were linked to the factories in the building, and while there was an outcry for change, much of the industry has remained the same. So in the documentary, I actually mentioned the Rana Plaza, and something it talked about was how the workers had been like complaining to their supervisors or the person or people who are in charge about like there had been like cracks in the building structure, and it was just a very unstable and unsafe work environment for workers to be in. But apparently, like, they didn't care. Corporate didn't care at all. They just cared about having like getting money, having a stable income. They didn't really talk like care about the workers' well-being and like personal safety, which is quite alarming actually, because this is basic violations of human rights. Because if workers feel unsafe in their work environments, it should be the ethical thing to do. Bro, like, oh my god, excuse my use of language, but the right thing to do for any human being is to address the problem, so to prevent future atrocities from happening. But in the case of Rana Plaza, that just wasn't the case, and it's very upsetting. Wages in these factories as well are like barely enough for workers to survive on, let alone thrive. In many cases, they're forced to work overtime, sometimes 12 to 16 hours a day, just to make ends meet. There's also rampant exploitation, including child labor and unsafe working environments, where accidents and fires are common. The cost of that $10 dress, well, it's paid in the lives and well-being of these workers. Even with promises from big brands to improve conditions and wages, progress has been slow. Labor activists have pointed out that many of the pledges made after the Rana Plaza tragedy have not been upheld, and new, more sustainable working models haven't been widely adopted. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Okay, we're back. So now we will be talking about the role of social media. This is actually my favorite part, because after I talk about this, you'll see how big of an impact social media has on like literally everything. But fast fashion wouldn't be as widespread without the role of social media. Sorry, without the role that social media plays in promoting trends and driving consumer behavior. Platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube are filled with influencers showcasing their latest hauls, where they buy large quantities of clothes, often from fast fashion brands, and show them off to their followers. These platforms operate on an algorithm that thrives on trends and novelty. When something goes viral, everyone wants a piece of it, and fast fashion companies are quick to jump on this, creating new items that mimic what influencers and celebrities are wearing. They make these items available within days, and soon they're all over your social media feed, tempting you to buy. Influencers, knowingly or unknowingly, promote the cycle of overconsumption. They're constantly showcasing new clothes, and followers are encouraged to do the same. After all, why wear the same outfit twice when you can get a brand new look for under $50? This culture of outfit of the day has created a mindset where clothing is disposable, something to wear once for a photo and then move on to the next trend. After I did my research on this, I was quite shocked, because this is exactly what I do. I do these like OOTD videos, I do like outfit of the day videos, and then my mindset when shopping now is like, oh, this outfit would be so cute for blah 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 event, or this outfit would be so cute if I want to like take photos and post on my Instagram. Like that mindset is like apparent in everything I do, basically. So that was a bit shocking. It felt too real. So now we're going to talk about the rise of sustainable fashion, which is like, we'll end on a positive note. It's not all bad news. In response to environmental and human rights issues within fast fashion, a new wave of sustainable fashion brands and movements has emerged. Brands like Patagonia, Reformation, and Everlane are leading the change, emphasizing ethical production, transparency in their supply chains, and eco-friendly materials. Patagonia, for example, has long been a proponent of sustainability, urging customers to repair their old gear instead of buying new items. Reformation produces clothes in limited quantities to reduce waste and uses environmentally friendly materials like Tencel, TM, and organic cotton. There's also the rise of the secondhand market, which has exploded thanks to platforms like ThredUp, Poshmark, Depop, but most importantly, TikTok and Instagram, because vintage clothing and secondhand, secondhand clothing stores are becoming, oh my gosh, there's a word for it, I just can't remember. Thrift stores has been very popular in the past few years. Even high-end fashion is joining the sustainability movement, with luxurious rental services like Rent the Runway, where you can rent designer clothing for special occasions instead of buying something new. And let's not forget the slow fashion movement, which encourages consumers to buy less, but buy better. The idea here is to invest in high quality, timeless pieces that will last years rather than just one season. It's about shifting the mindset from quantity to quality. So what can we do as consumers? Now that we've covered the environmental, social, and economic impacts of fast fashion, the big question is, what can we do about it? As consumers, we hold a lot of power. Every purchase we make is a vote for the kind of industry we want to support. Here are some simple, actionable steps you can take. I will also include this in my source notes so that it's easier for everyone. Oh, excuse me. Buy less, choose better. Instead of buying multiple cheap items, invest in a few high-quality pieces that will last. Think timeless, not trendy. Support sustainable brands. There are plenty of ethical brands out there that prioritize the environment and fair labor practices. Do some research and consider supporting them. Buy secondhand. Thrift stores, the emphasis on thrift stores. There's so many cute stuff from thrift stores that you can buy for pretty cheap and it's better for the environment. There's also online marketplaces and clothing swaps. They're also all like very great ways to refresh your wardrobe without contributing to overproduction. Like if you see a really cute piece of clothes that your friend is wearing, ask them if they want to trade for something that they want from your closet. I think that's a very like bonding moment to have. Number 4, take care of your clothes. Make your clothes last by washing them less often. Don't make the same mistake as I did by washing a synthetic fiber sweater without knowing like the washing like steps, you know? Because there's some clothes that have very, what is it called? Like very precise ways to wash them. Air dry them and repair them when needed. The longer you keep your clothes, the less you need to replace them. Number 5, recycle and donate responsibly. When you're done with an item, donate it to a charity or recycle it properly. But remember, donating isn't a cure-all. Make sure your clothes are in good condition to increase their chances of being reused. Lastly, educate others. Talk to your friends and family about the true costs of fast fashion. The more people know about the impact of their choices, the more likely we are to see a change in the industry. So where does the fast fashion go from here? The industry is at a crossroad. On one hand, the demand for cheap, trendy clothing is higher than ever, driven by social media and global consumerism. On the other hand, we're starting to see a shift. Consumers are waking up to the environmental and social impact of their shopping habits, like me. And brands are feeling the pressure to The future of fashion will likely be a blend of things of sustainability and technology, with innovations like 3D printing, biodegradable fabrics, and the potential for circular fashion systems. There's hope that we can reduce the harm the industry does while still allowing for creativity and self-expression. But at the end of the day, the real change starts with us. As consumers, we have the power to demand better, to support brands that prioritize the planet and people, and to rethink our relationship with fashion. Well, that's it for today's episode of Unscripted with Coco. I hope you learned something new and feel inspired to make more mindful fashion choices. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you.